Mark Carlos, thank you for joining me on Exit 425. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Mark, tell our audience a little bit about what you do and what experience gives you a good perspective on poverty in Durham.
I work with addictions and homeless. We work out of a house called ROAR, which is Redemption House of Recovery out of Durham. I also work with the court system and deal with young offenders and addiction. And I have a PhD in clinical psychology. And I've also been the addict and the homeless kid when I was 13 years old. So I have firsthand knowledge of it. And now that helps me with dealing with people from the hub in downtown Durham.
For many of us in Clarington particularly, we're traveling a lot for our kids' activities, work, and anything else. We just have to travel. Many of us don't really see things that look like poverty. And how is it manifest in our communities and neighborhoods?
Well, right now, because of our lack of funding in our country, our federal, we actually have people that, you have a two-tier homeless system. You have actually people that are living in the street. Then you have people living in shelters, and then you have people living in low-income housing. Low-income housing, you have a can opener, so you'll find places like the food bank and everything. And if you look at your, especially in the wintertime, the food banks are empty. And usually there's quite a bit of food in a food bank. You can always go there. They're always filled up. Now they're empty. They're dying for food, so to speak. The homeless that don't have a place to live, they don't have a can opener or a place to make a meal. So they rely strictly on food banks that give out sandwiches. There's a place called Duo, Do On to Others, in off Simcoe Street. And that lady has them come in at nighttime to sit down and relax. It's a old bar she rented. They don't serve booze anymore. But she has food and snacks and sandwiches. This lady actually started off driving around in her van to all of the encampments in Oshawa and Durham, handing out sandwiches and making sure these people stayed alive. So it's hard to see it because the guy usually panhandling at the corner isn't homeless. Sorry to say. Addiction is a big part of it. The mental illness, obviously, with addiction, it all falls into line, right? But the people that are just mentally ill, they're very hard to find. You'd find them at, like, say, the hub in Oshawa, Simcoe and Memorial Park. You have to really go into the downtown areas of your towns. Uxbridge is doing a out of the cold program, they called me about. And they're going, okay, churches want to do it. They want to help out. But the stigma of that is that you start bringing the homeless people into your neighborhood, crime rate does go up. So to do it correctly, you have to do it near an eating facility where they can get food. So for us to see it in our general, it's very hard because they hide. They hide during the day.
As our population grows in Durham and Clarington, again, specifically, are you seeing any changes in the poverty situation in Durham?
Oh, absolutely. There's a difference between refugee immigration and regular immigration. Regular immigration are people that come here that work. They apply for work visas. They apply for school visas. They're becoming something, you know, in our society, right? So we don't really see them because we're always working. They're the ones that you see at Tim Hortons, McDonald's. They're working two or three jobs, right? Then we have refugee immigration. And this is not against refugees, but a lot of them come here and don't work. And why would you work when you're giving a huge amount of money to live off? We have, I've seen a refugee of 15 people living in a house in Durham off off my street, which there isn't a house that's under $2 million. So they're paying $3,800 a month for rent, and they have two new cars, and everything's given to them. So when you have that, people can't afford to rent places because the government is, why would you rent your house to a rooming, make it a rooming house, so to speak? Why would you do that and not be guaranteed your income when the government gives immigration, refugee immigration, guaranteed income? So the cause is that a lot of people can't afford renting anymore because it's given to that, right?
And so that's the first, like the homelessness, or I'm losing the current term, the unhomed situation is the start of the poverty, in your estimation?
Yes. Yeah, there's been, I've seen it where they've have to empty certain areas, like say the Durham School, the college, where they used the student residence for homeless people, right? And then they would go in and clean it all up. Well, they kicked the homeless people out. They kicked out war veterans onto the street for the refugee immigration. They put them in hotels, so on and so forth during COVID. Remember the Super 8 on Westney Road? I was counseling and pastoring out of that place. It was the COVID center for the homeless. And they would have one in a room, which I understand because of COVID and everything else, right? You had to for by law. But they were also allowed to roam around freely. So I guess all I can put down to is that if you're going to be do the best work you can with homeless, is you actually have to have a crew hired to moderate and to, sorry to say the word, police the situation, right? Because drug addicts are con men and con women, and they'll lie and do whatever they can to get what they want. But there's a lot of people out there that are homeless that don't want to lie, that are scared and terrified and cannot stay in shelters because shelters aren't inviting places.
Hmm. Oshawa usually gets a bad rap. Is it the only place with a problem? Does Oshawa have a problem? And maybe we compare that with Toronto, London, Peterborough, Ottawa, those places.
Oshawa doesn't have a problem. What they do is they have the best facilities. And when you have the best facilities, you pull in the homeless, right? Because you have doctors at the hub on Simcoe Memorial, that church there. They have food, they have doctors, they have psych doctors, they have sleeping areas, they have rest areas, they have bathrooms, they have a clothes change. So when you have that, you will get the maximum amount of homeless. Peterborough's bad. Uxbridge, they're doing an out of the cold program in that beautiful little town. So to do an out of the cold program means that you have a certain amount of people that are homeless living in the street. You have them in Curtis. They're in London's brutal. But I would have to say it's the drug epidemic that is running the whole thing. So in our government, our federal government and our provincial government, they call it housing first. So they believe we're going to find housing first. That's the most important. What I found, if you can't find rehabilitation first, all you're doing is putting a bunch of addicts in a house.
Right. Not solving the problem at all.
It's not solving any problem.
Right.
Budget gets bigger every year.
Yeah. And so, additionally, you're talking about the federal government and, regardless of politics. I mean, it's the federal government and they're responsible for these areas. And you're talking about refugees and maybe their higher profile. People react differently to seeing refugees who are on the street. So the government doesn't feel anything bad about moving the homeless people out of a facility and putting the refugees in there. Would that be a fairly accurate assessment?
No, because it's the law, the human rights law, when they bring people in out of, because it's mostly out of war-torn countries, right?
Right, yeah.
The refugee. They have to give them this safety. And that's in the act. It's in the Human Rights Acts. So they have to do that. Our individuals here are second class because they're citizens. They no longer have that human rights era coming out of a war-torn country. Mm. It's a gray area. It used to be a very fine line, the gray area, until COVID. Now it's a mile wide. So there's so many different reasons and precautions that people have to take, because we've seen it ourselves where if they're not treated correctly by our government, they can actually sue.
Wow. So the law is protecting the new people to Canada, but the law isn't protecting the current people in Canada in this situation.
It's kind of like your cellular and internet service, right? You could be a faithful member, but if you don't change every year, you're not getting the good deals.
That's right. In my one of my early attempts at some YouTube production called Exit 425, The Reasons Why, I make that point that the older residents, the people who've been in the community, are getting less of a good deal than the new people in the community. So this is the same sort of thing. It's interesting that you mentioned the cable and TV companies, because it's the exact same thing, right? Like the new customers get the better deal. And that's unfortunate. I'm mildly pleased that it's not just a headline grabbing thing that's getting the refugees the priority over the homeless, but the net outcome of it being the law is still the same thing. And unfortunately, you know, they're not following through with the people that they're displacing.
No, we have an example. I have an older lady up the road who husband passed away 25 years ago. She must be like 96 years old. And she has to pay for medication. She has to call a cab and pay for a cab, go to a doctor, or arrange something like that with her own finances, where the family that's literally right beside her, they get cabs paid for to go see the doctor. They get, I just saw a couple of beds delivered to their house. I see groceries delivered to their house. And this lady that's been here for, you know, longer than you and I both have, has to make her own way. You know, it's very sad that we've, as a society, because it's our fault as a society, that this stuff was allowed, right? Like, we should be taking care of our widows. We should be taking care of everybody that has put in a lifetime of work, of paid taxes into this country, made this country what it used to be, right? And we've kind of let that fall to the wayside because it's not my problem.
Right.
And I'm sure you've heard that. Same as the homeless, right? Mm-hmm. Same as the addiction. Well, it's not really my problem until it moves in beside you.
Right. And that, you know, that's my point about us being busy and driving everywhere. And you know, we don't see what's going on right in our community. And until it's, as you say, living next door, we don't really notice it.
And why would you?
Well, and that's why I'm asking, I'm talking to you, right? And that's why on Exit 425 this year, I want to put more of an emphasis on poverty in Durham and Clarington, because, it is an issue. It is a big deal. And there's a lot of time and effort being spent to help people who are homeless and poor and addicted, but more help is needed. Right. So,
well, it's like, I mean, money's sometimes not distributed correctly, and I'm being very liberal with that phrase, because I've seen hundreds of thousands of dollars wasted just in cabs.
Wow.
To give a homeless guy a cab ride to the doctor that he doesn't have to go to. You know, so let's say at that hotel, these guys were taking cabs to Oshawa, to Simcoe Street, Memorial Park. So from Westney Road to Memorial Park. What is that, a $30 cab ride? I was watching 20 guys doing it every day, twice. And they can't, multiples can't go into the cab because of COVID. So they had to do one at a time. There was no proof of a doctor note. There was no nothing. And then, so I jumped on my motorcycle and I followed two guys that I was thinking were on a little bit of a scam. I was watching them though. They go pick up dope. Then they come back and they'd sell it at the hotel.
Wow.
So it's because of the housing first rule, they weren't allowed to kick them out.
Wow.
Because it's law that we have to house them, right?
Wow.
And the police at the time are, I mean, our police department, what is it? It's the same number it was back in 1978. The amount of cops in our population has grown, what, four times, five times?
Yes, exactly. So,
and we have the same amount of police as we had in 1978.
Wow. And so,
and police only can do anything until something bad happens, right?
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah. The whole preventative thing is more difficult for them to do, even though probably to a cop, they know that that works better. So, you know, on that note, there's actually a couple things I'd like to go, or directions I'd like to go with that. You mentioned Uxbridge. There's lots of other parts of Durham. Are there other areas of Durham that are needy and maybe not getting a response like they're getting in Uxbridge?
Well, Whitby, Ajax, there's all shelters in there. The government has, and I understand why, there are rules, right? You have to have, for an overnight shelter, you have to have a pull-down fire alarm with sprinkler systems. I understand that. It's fire regulations. A lot of places, they can't do that. Or, if you do that, you have to pay more in insurance. And some insurance companies going, okay, no, you're having people stay at your church overnight. We can't insure you for that. So a lot of people go, why aren't these churches doing it? Why aren't all these places doing it that are empty? Well, they can't do it because insurance and our government doesn't allow it, right? We do have to stick with the laws if we're going to do things, right? Sometimes the laws, there's a fine gray area there too, because I've done it myself with one of our certain establishments that we don't have anymore. Because you're not allowed to have more than three people under a roof in Durham. Mm. If you do, you have to have a rooming house license. Well, a rooming house license hasn't been given out for 20 years in Durham.
Wow.
They've been refused for 20 years. We have a house now where we're able to get from an individual that has a rooming license. So for the house that we didn't have a license, we were able to move to the other one, and we have the guys there, right?
Right.
So we have up to 10 guys in a room. We have two of them sleeping in a room.
Wow.
And they're under supervision 24/7. But these are addicts that are living on the street that asked for help. And they really want help, so they can't do dope anymore. So that's our stipulation, is zero. There's no drinking. There's no dope. There's no nothing. And the guys are doing it. Like, we're having a phenomenal impact in Durham.
That's awesome. Go ahead. Sorry.
But all of the other shelters, again, there's all these precedents that they have to follow, right? So there's one on Harwood, just south of the 401. It's a Christian organization that does it. Where's the other ones? There's two more up in Salvation Army has one in north of Brock Street, which I guess that's Whitby, right? Mm-hmm. So they have these little places here and there to do it, but it's run by large. And it's funny to sort. Well, it's not funny. Sorry to say, most of the ones that are run under a Christian-based program, and they also have a Muslim women's center. And it's, you don't have to be Muslim to go there. They accept everybody, which is phenomenal. Same as the Christian encampments. Well, mm-hmm. I shouldn't call them encampments, but the Christian shelters, right?
Right. What about places like Brock? I worked up there for a year and realized the disparity between, public services there versus the South. Everything seems to have an economy of scale, but there you got to throw it out a little bit. I know that from education in order to meet the needs of the people. How are people, where do we see poverty up in places like Brock and North Scugog and North Uxbridge?
There's always, you and I know there's always been poverty, mm-hmm. right? And the farther north you go, the more poverty there is. So when you have, say, the natives, stuff like that, they don't have a lot of income. They're on fixed income. And they're living up north because that's the only place they can afford. Mm. Right? Like I can, if I go north of Peterborough, I could probably rent a house for $1,000, right?
Right, yeah.
So you can have a family of six living in a house for $1,000, where that family of six living in term is $3,500.
Easy, yeah.
Right? Like $3,500 to $3,800 for a house to rent.
Right.
So, of course you're going to have them north. The deal is that we can't get food out to these places to feed the need for Durham. That lady is phenomenal. Like, I've seen some fantastic work she's done. She's helped us at Redemption House. She's helped at Duo. And, she's a beautiful lady, right? And they actually try to do that. They figure out where there is. There's another one that's out in Markham. This guy does Toronto to, I think it's like Newmarket and Aurora and all that. They drive to these people's locations,
wow.
and take food to them, right? Again, most of them are Christian-based, and they don't get any granting from the government.
Right.
They just do it because they know they have to do it, right?
I remember when my son's business was in Beaverton and the Christmas that we were up there, I was aware of a lot of need in the community, and the school made me aware of particular families that were in need. And that opened my eyes because we delivered meals on Christmas Eve to those families. And it was stunning to see, these beautiful farms and just to realize how impoverished these families were that were living there. And it was, I guess it's hidden up there too, right? You talked about how the homeless and the addicts, they hide down here. And perhaps it's even more hidden when the farms are, 100 meters back from the road and that sort of thing.
Well, the sad part about that is these are people that actually work every day, hard work, not going to an office and getting a Starbucks on the way. Mm-hmm. These are people that are up before the sun comes up. They go to bed before the sun goes down, and they can't afford food.
Yeah.
It's awful. Now that's sad, mm-hmm. right?
And they're feeding us.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's, I'm not going to, it's the way we've let society run things. For homelessness that we see on the road, there was, I think in Canada, there was 12,600 in June. By May, it increased 19%.
Wow.
of the next year, right? So like last year, I have some numbers just in Durham, 375 was in 2021, 459 last year. Wow. Just in Durham. Wow. But actually being homeless without, never mind about the people that we don't know that are going to food banks, that we don't know that go to the dollar store to get Kraft dinner or whatever it is that they have, the no name, to feed their family for a week. You know, I worked with a group that fed kids that went to school. And this was, I think, 7 years ago. I used to go around. 7 years ago, 8,000 kids in Ontario went to school without food.
Wow. And now?
I probably presume it'd probably be double.
Double, yeah. Even 8,000 is pretty stunning when we think about what we have in Ontario. And
8,000 is ridiculous of kids going to school. These are kids. And they haven't eaten since the night before.
Yeah.
You know, and now with our interest rates and our gas and carbon tax and all that, how many parents are going without eating?
Exactly.
Wow. You know, so the kids eat, right? They used to be in the old days, we get mad at somebody on welfare that we saw the kid coming in and not eat because mommy went and spent it at the bar. Right? Yeah. Now it's, do we have heat or do we have food? Right? And that's a very sad state of affairs that we've gotten into.
And it's in each neighborhood too, you know, it's everywhere. And that's the stunning thing. I'm in a nice little suburb here and probably within a few minutes, would find a family who's, you know, maybe their house rich, but can't eat. And, you know, that's still poverty, right? And they're, you know, that child isn't comfortable at school today, and maybe mom or dad isn't working, and those are all part of it, right?
100%. I have the lady lives 8 houses up from me.
Right. So we're in a huge, huge time of growth in Durham, Clarington again specifically. You know, I saw a republish of an article today in the Globe and Mail about the Edge development, which is, it just screams life in Clarington with all the warehouses and factories that are being built. And of course, the recent scandal about the Greenbelt development and the housing crisis. But growth is happening in Durham, and everybody seems to be planning for it. How is this going to affect the situation in the world that you live in, you work in, and helping people?
Believe it or not, it helps usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when the businesses come here and they build, they actually have a slush fund they put aside for giving to nonprofit. They get a CRA certificate, a tax receipt, so to speak. But they're also, all the HR departments now, they all see what's going on. TGX, Winners, HomeSense, Marshalls, that umbrella, they have a certain amount of money laid off to the side. IBM, all of these companies do, like large companies, because they have a federal slush fund, right, where they can get the money back in taxes and help out the community. And a lot of people, they do this so they can get the, you know, the card. I helped out in the community card.
Right.
You know what? Absolutely. Have at her. Do what you want. You know, I don't say no to those people because they help us.
So whatever the motivation, it's just help to you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, I will go there and go to their fancy dinner party and speak at it and whatever and show pictures and thank them, you know, for the pictures. Absolutely. Because I am thankful for them. I am thankful for everybody that works in these companies, that work hard. I'm thankful for the people that own these companies that come here and give us a chance to be able to become a larger city. You know, it's funny because I'm at the age now where I yell at guys for stepping on my lawn. Right?
Yeah.
But I also know that if we don't have that, we're going to die out. Right? Our population is they say it's growing. It's growing from people coming from other countries that work hard. And I'm a Ukrainian Polak. My father came here. So it's not about, you know, this, oh, I'm Canadian, that's the end of it. No, I'm not. I am Canadian. I was born here, but my father wasn't, right? Right. So, but these are people that make this country great. Canada's probably the most, you have everybody here. You know, this is a mixed bag of soup, right? And it makes it wonderful. So for these companies that are coming out to all these small places, Curtis, Clareton, and all that, you know, good for them. Good for them for coming out. Living in the city of Toronto is absolutely insane. I don't know. I was down there on Saturday for a wedding, and I couldn't believe the buildings down there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm that old that I try to stay away from the city now.
And keep people off your lawn.
Yeah, well, that's it.
When I go into schools now as a retired supply administrator, I'm conscious of not wanting to be the grumpy guy keeping people off my lawn and not have that approach with students. But sometimes you got to do that in real life, right? So,
yeah, I joke with that one.
Yeah,
but it's but yeah, you're correct. It's to have open arms and welcome people is probably the best way to communicate. Well, and I understand that people are scared to see homeless, you know, lock the door, roll up the window kind of thing. And for good reason, because some of them are criminals, right? So I get it. If people want to help, right, if the general public wants to help, donate to a food bank. Don't give the guy on the corner $10, because I'm going to tell you, he's going to go buy dope with it. He's not buying coffee or food. He's going to go buy dope or alcohol. So the best way to help out in these big businesses is the food banks, is to find out a church or something that's doing this out of the cold program.
Right.
Because they don't need volunteers, because you have to be a hired person by the government to follow the rules, right?
Right.
But they do need blankets. They would accept, you know, coffee in the morning or tea or maybe some toast for the guys to have something to eat before they hit the road kind of thing.
Right.
Because they're up at 5, 6 a.m. They're kicked out on the street at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So if you had a job, it's not so bad because you get a free wake-up call in the breakfast, which I'd be into. But if you don't have a job,
that's pretty
you're
hard.
Getting sent out. Yeah, you're getting sent out in the cold with an empty belly, right?
You answered a couple of questions. One of them, the difficult one, about the guy who's on the corner and looking for a handout. You know, you talked about the food bank and you know, donating to an organization that's doing this work. Are there policy changes that need to happen to make this work better and to help our homeless and impoverished people just get a leg up on things?
100%. There are a lot of people out there that are involved, and I'm trying to word everything politically correct, that have no street experience. So they're very lovey-dovey. You know, they accept everything that is truth. They accept everything the guy is saying is gospel. where if you've been in the street, you've been through the program yourself, and you know that how much you've lied to get what you wanted, and realize that these people are lying to you, and go and coming at them with truth. Not judgmental, but going, okay, you know what? I know you're lying to me. If you need help, I'm here to help you. But I'm not giving you $10. I'm not giving you $20. The best gift I've seen, and I've said this to other people, is that if you can get a Tim Hortons card for $2 or for $5, because it's called the dope game, right? If you give a guy a card for $20, that dope dealer will buy it, give him $10 worth of dope for a $20 card. So there's always the street game, right?
Right.
But at $5 or $2, no, he's got nothing to do with you.
Right.
But it does give the guy a chance to get a coffee or a sandwich or a donut.
And sit in a warm place for a few minutes.
There's right. The word right there. Be able to sit inside. So that's, if you're going to be doing something on the corner, I do it all the time in the winter. I'll buy $100 of $2 Tim cards. And if I see a guy light, I go, here, it's a $2 Tim card, and get you coffee. And sad to say, I've had him throw them back at me.
Wow.
Right? I gave a guy a sandwich one time, and he goes, I don't want a sandwich, I want money. And I was like, sorry, bud. You know, now you get nothing, because I'm taking the sandwich back, right?
Right.
So it's... homelessness isn't, it's not finite. You know how to deal with it.
Right.
But we do have to change things. We just can't, we can't let the homeless guy, sure I say this the most politically correct way, we can't let the nuts run the nut house. Right. You can't let a drug addict run drug rehab.
Gotcha. Yep.
Right. So we have to have people that are willing to stand up and not 9 to 5. That's another issue that we have, is that they only work 9 to 5.
Right.
Well, they're homeless 24/7. Right. So we have to be willing to give a guy to have to hire people that know the world, which way to go. And there's a lot of con artists out there. There's a lot of scammers out there too, trying to help.
Right.
And that's the thing, is the vetting of the proper, right? Guys get, say, out of the cold program. It runs from December to March. And it's $300,000 you get.
Wow.
The house, 15 people. And you only have to open up if it goes below 8 degrees. And they don't really come and check your place, right? So that's $300,000, a lot of money, right? If we're able to put, say, I'm sure there's probably a couple of storefronts that have no business in our small towns.
Right.
Right? That are away in a nook somewhere, right?
Right.
An old grocery store that no longer works, a warehouse that no longer has something. We should be more applying to that warehouse. Let's get the warehouse. We'll all bring them there. We'll give them their separate areas. We can have a volunteer doctor show up, or volunteers, teachers, you know, you, education. You can
sure
go in there with your ability and your knowledge and your wisdom. You'll be able to pick out certain people that you know need to be talked to, right? And it's all about discernment, and it's all about wisdom. We'll never stop anything if we're not willing to go out of the comfort zone and apply ourselves. Thing is the only people that can apply themselves are people that have the wisdom, the ability, and the education.
And the experience.
And experience. You can't be, I love grandma for all she does and her apple pies, but she's can't be in there talking to these people, right? Because they will use her.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's sad to say, but accountability and love. A lot of people think love is, I'm going to give you a hug. No, My love is holding you accountable.
Right.
Now, if you care for the person, you're going to worry about them, right? You're going to hold them accountable. If you don't care for the person, you don't care what happens to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Mark, I appreciate so much the time that you've given me and our audience for Exit 425 today. And you can tell that not only are you knowledgeable and experienced about the people who are needing help, but you care a lot about them too. And, you know, that's so important. You've shared a lot. You've answered a lot of questions. And I hope we can talk again. As you've pointed out a few times, this isn't going away. Like so many other social things that we are constantly trying to correct or fix, it's not going away. And that's the sad part. The great part is we've got people like you working with these folks all the time and giving them what they need. And some of us call it tough love. You just call it love. And, you know, feed them, house them, hold them accountable, and keep them moving forward. And I appreciate that. And I'm sure that most who are listening to this episode feel that way as well. I hope
Thanks,
we can talk
Steve. Appreciate it. Absolutely.
So thank you for joining me today to discuss poverty in Durham and Clarington. Can people find information out about you and the organizations that you work with or contact you?
You can contact me through you, Steve. How about that?
Perfect.
There's a place called Duo. It's on Simcoe. It's called Do On To Others. Lady's name's Melissa. They call her the mother of Oshawa. She drives around, makes sure everybody's fed. She takes care of people in the middle of winter. Lady's unbelievable. Redemption House of Recovery. Roar is a gentleman by the name of Claren Adam. They take only men. It's only a men's center. But it's a pre and a post. So before you go into a program, because a lot of times it takes 2 or 3 months to get into a program, they will take you immediately and give you a safe house and start working on your addictions and behavioral. They have a licensed clinical psychologist there. They have a licensed counselor there. It's a Christian-oriented, but it doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. You can be Muslim, you can be Hindu, it doesn't matter. So that's another one that we deal with. And, of course, the need Feed of Durham, Feed the Need group.
Yep.
Phenomenal group. You can find them on the internet. If you want to donate to them, that would be a good one to donate to.
Awesome. And that's good to know. We're just in the wake of Thanksgiving when we're recording this. And obviously that's in the lead up to Christmas as well, which are, you know, highlighted times for organizations like Feed the Need Durham. So
that's correct. Yeah.
Your endorsement is awesome. That's terrific. And hopefully we can talk to Gail Nyberg soon on Exit.
There you go.
So to the audience, thank you for listening to this episode of Exit 425. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2023. My name is Steve Ray. If you have questions or would like more information about Exit 425 or would like to get in touch with Mark, you can join our Exit 425 Facebook group, like the Exit 425 Facebook page. Check out Medium, X, and TikTok, or email me. That's probably the best way, at exit425401@gmail.com.